sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule this earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
Well, gang, tomorrow we start at, we start tomorrow at 8 a.m. at the coffee house, deep cleaning. So let me just tell you how it goes with me, all right? We're just going to do a half day. We're going to take the other 12 hours off. So 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., all right? I get in the zone. I don't stop. I just keep going. If you're thinking you're going to come there, we're going to hang around, eat pizza and stuff like that. That's if Bob shows up. We'll come there. Come there to serve. So bring food. If you're hoping there's something good there to eat, and bring it. And then it will. There'll be a grill there. You can grill. We're just going to keep going and going and going until that basement's empty and get it all outside. I'm in the upper room, sort things out, tools and that kind of stuff. So that's Friday and Saturday. We do well on Friday. Then Saturday, it's all power washing. And then during the week, it's more sorting out and getting ready for our Ramaj sale. I tried posting on Facebook. Anyone get that? Anyone get that on Facebook? I guess there's messages coming back. What is this sale about? Did the flyer not explain that, or do I just not understand what if? Did what?
They always ask anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it took Johnny and I quite a few years to figure out all the information that needs to be on there, and we actually got the dates right this year.
Afterwards,
second try. All right. Well, it was almost a great one-day sale. Yeah, it was great flyer. And then. I don't know, the place that we meet at, they have service on a different day, but I didn't want to say anything, but their flyer has some speaker evangelism thing coming on Thursday.
I saw that.
Do we know what Thursday? It was just Thursday, so
okay.
If it's still there, Thursday, so keep showing, so we'll go from there. Anyway, so, and then all next week as well, so sorting out, and then we'll go from there. All right, turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to start off in 1 Timothy chapter 4. But this is a prophecy update today. And so we're just going to be going through some God's Word, just where we are here in America. Hopefully make some sense out of what's happened here and give you folks some encouragement. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for tonight. And I just ask you, Lord, to be that Lord and lift it up. And that we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than when we came here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later time shall depart, that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and showing up at the Olympics, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron, opening ceremony of the Olympics, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving. Thank you for today, Lord. Of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister in Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and that which has come true. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specifically of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in the word and in conversation and in charity and in spirit and in faith and in purity. Now, the word conversation is an old King James word. That word conversation means your whole manner of life, not just verbally. It means your whole manner of life. In charity, which is King James word for love and in spirit and faith and in purity. Till I come. So let's just keep doing that till Jesus comes. And then when Jesus comes and takes us away, we don't ever have to do that one more time. Because, you know, we'll be perfected. Okay, with me. Till I come and give attendance to the reading and exhortation to doctrine. Doctrine, that's teaching. That's why we have a Bible study. That's why we're going through God's Word. We're again, my prayer is that we would leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with God than when we came here this evening. And that's, again, the exhortation as we get together. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by thee, the prophecy, and with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Not the Presbyterians. Presbyterians means the elders. And so, again, do not neglect the gift. So there's going to be some diagnostic things here I'll give to you. Meditate upon these things, not om. No. The word meditate was well established before. Om, and contemplate the navel, and om. Okay, so let me get that there. All right. Meditate, again, in other words, ponder these things. Upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. Thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. So one, salvation for you and I. But if people see us walking with the Lord, if people see us surrendering our lives to Jesus, he is attempting to not live a perfect life, but one of that we are growing and we're demonstrating God's forgiveness. It saves the lives of others because they look at us. We might be the only Bible someone ever reads. Are they reading the Reader's Digest condensed version? Are they reading a paraphrase? Are they reading your own Bible that you own written? Are they reading the Satanic Bible? It's not really a Bible, but it's a real work there. So this is our whole manner of life. This is what we get to do in a free country right now. We get to meet in a park. We get to come out here. We get to discuss God's word. We get to share God's love. Unlike, look what happened at the Olympics there. And if any religion was ever, if the Islam was criticized or if anything's there, there would be rioting in the streets, right? Now, we have a couple that are over there evangelizing right now. They're at the Olympics. I don't know if you, because they're really not popularizing this on the news, but if you said anything about a religion or any other religion, the Hindus, especially the Muslims, they mock anything that they did. If you're not aware of the mockery that happened at the opening Olympics and what they did, it had nothing to do with sports, by the way. There'd be rioting in the streets. Were there not? There would be upset. I mean, there was about 10 years earlier, a newspaper in Belgium that did satirical, did satire and parody, was parodying Muhammad, and they had a picture of Prophet Muhammad drawing contest. They bombed it and killed people in that office in the name of their God and their religion. If you're not aware and you can't just look, you can't find this in American media, you have to go to foreign media to find this. What happened after that horrible opening ceremony of the Olympics there, that would happen there, in the mockery of Christ and the Last Supper? Well, they had an outage, and there was a church that had lights on. I don't know if they had a power system there or whatever. But have you seen in the news, not in American news, tens of thousands of French Christians, citizens, flooding the streets in prayer and worship? Not burning anything down, not destroying anything. God doesn't need us to go kill people and tear things down. But look, in the name of religion, what has been happening in the last, well, in this last part of this century here, but what's in the last 10, 12 years. Look what's happened in the name of religion, of beheadings of religion. And I'm not just talking about of Islam. I have friends who are in India, and the Hindus, they're the radical Hindus, man. They go and decimate whole villages that consider themselves Christians in the name of this religion. So what have Christians? So here's, again, this country. They're in France, Paris, France, and it's still going on today. There's evangelism, and there was such a mockery. And so, listen, I think that was a pit from the plan, from the pit of the hell, from Satan. And yet it's backfired on, because tens of thousands of people who consider themselves Christians, or they said we're French citizens and we're, you know, this is a Christian nation. France trying to say they're a Christian nation. But tens of thousands of people are out praying and singing and worshiping in the streets. So you have to go to different media. If you haven't been able to find that, you'll have to search many links to go further down on the search engines there. And so there's tens of thousands of people that are in the name of Christ, in the name of being a Christianity. What are they doing? And the world doesn't like that. What do we have here in the name of an amateur porn star who was a drug addict who died of a heart attack, known as George Floyd? And what is the city has burnt down in those considered peaceful protests and stuff? Peaceful protests and stuff. That's a universal sign of no. So the peaceful protests here in Minneapolis, that, again, I take people by the precinct house that still was abandoned and said, in the name of your cause. If you have a cause that says that you kill people, hurt people, brutalize people, and do those things, then I question where that cause is coming from. You don't have to beat anyone into submission if you are following Christ. So this has expressly been written about here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And the times have gotten worse. Now listen, I've got vision for 4 more coffee houses. I was driving around with some people, showing them places for 4 more coffee houses in St. Paul that I've been praying about since 1988. And I see the various locations. And still, before Walmart was ever really big in Walmart, I was back here in 88 and saw that Kmart off of 35E in Maryland that's abandoned. I said, man, that'd be a great place for a Calvary Chapel and to be there. And I have plans for other Calvary Chapels within, again, the Twin Cities here, and again in St. Paul. I've got all this stuff. But I'm like, Lord, I want to go home. I want the rapture to happen. I'm like, okay, if you give us more time, if we get another reprieve like we did a couple of administrations ago, and there's prosperity comes and those things happen, don't waste this opportunity and try to, you know, treat yourself. Because there have been such a high inflation rate and prices go down and say, I deserve, I've suffered so long. We folks, we really haven't suffered. All right. Talk to the people who are legally coming into this country. There's people who are still trying to get into this country. And this country is better than any other countries that they're actually leaving from. And so here we see this happening in the Bible. So in other words, it's not. Again, I had a dozen other illustrations a week ago that are totally useless today. So I'll just give you a fresh one today. In the Olympics, I guess, as the Babylon Bee put it, a satire magazine says, first gold medalist awarded to domestic violence. So an Algerian male who's not even transitioning. He's not trying to be a woman. He just says he's a woman. Beat a woman. Beat the Italian boxer. She'd been training her whole life in female. And this guy, weeks before, was banned from competition because he had too much testosterone in him. So, and he had the wrong chromosomes. It definitely showed that he was a male. But yet they're not doing any drug testing, no drug testing for anything or any testing for this Olympics. And within two hard blows, she just took off her helmet. She said, I quit. She said, this is unjust. This is unjust. So I didn't know about that until this morning. All right, and so, again, I had different illustrations. But listening to other commentators, Riley Gaines, the swimmer who trained her whole life to be in the Olympics someday, but that was shot down, to be an NCAA college champion swimmer, but yet the guy who says he's now a girl, Leah Thomas, whatever, going by that name, is in the record books as the winner of the NCAA swimming championship. And And so they're interviewing her today, and I just caught a little bit. And she and they go, "Are you shocked? Are you surprised at what happened at the Olympics?" That's why I didn't know what happened at the Olympics. They're ahead of us in hours. And I go, "What's been happening here?" And she goes, "No." And her response is, "I have a little bit different response." She goes, "I'm not shocked and surprised. This is what I've been saying for years, that this was inevitably going to happen. And this isn't, and people have been saying this is isolated incidences. Who went with me to the school board in another city there, and we were saying, hey, listen, you shouldn't let guys into women's sports. You know, what about daughters and granddaughters and kids and things? And we shouldn't do that. And yet they're saying you're, and they were calling us out as bigots and racists for how could you not do those things? I commend the young men, middle school and high school, who were forced to wrestle against women. And a good majority of them said, I'm not going to wrestle a woman. Why? Are you a bigot? Because she's a woman? And I like the parentage. I like the parentings. No, I'm a gentleman. I'm not going to not wrestle her because she's a woman and I'm a bigot and racist. I'm not going to do it because I'm a gentleman and you shouldn't hurt women. And I'm going to hurt her if that happens. They're bigger, they're stronger if you don't know what's happening there. And so, again, 10 different illustrations I was going to use. But what happened, again, so I'll just try to backtrack it a little bit. Listen, I don't want you to be fooled at what happened on July 13th at Our God's Not Broke. During that happened, there was an assassination attempt of President Trump. And yes, he is a former president, but you get to retain the title that you were last highest with. And so here, President Trump attempted assassination on him. But I just want you to understand, might get in trouble with this, probably will, but did God really save him? What if the devil saved him? I mean, We look and everyone's saying God's providence, God's promise. And what did I say? And if you, for those of you here, I said, I pray this man had a come to Jesus meeting and he stays humble and he gives glory to God. Folks, he's not doing that. I mean, he's emboldened, all right? He's not going overboard, but, and then, and I follow President Trump. I want to hear his words. I want to hear what he says. And so I followed him. And he said this himself, so you can look this up online. You can go to Turning Point USA with Charlie Cook. They had a Turning Point USA faith summit. President Trump spoke there, and he gave a spiel to everyone. He says, you Christians, you need to come out and vote for me, all right? Just this one time. Just come and vote for me. You'll have a better life if I do. And he goes, now listen, he goes, I'm not a Christian. These are the words from President Trump. He said, I'm not a Christian. I'm not Christian. These are his words. So he said it. It's out there. He says, but again, you're not voting for a pastor. You're not voting for a Christian minister. I'm going to, you know, do what our Constitution says. That's our law of the land. I want someone who protects the border. I don't particularly care if it's a Christian, a Buddhist, Hindu, or Muslim cop who shows up. If someone's trying to rape and pillage my family and rob me or something like that, I want the cop to show up and do their job. I'm not concerned about their faith at that moment. I just want to know, did they have a good time training on the range, and can they do well-aimed shots and protect me if I'm in need of that? That's their job. That's what they need to do. So I question again, and many use 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. If my people, or call my people, repent of their, you know, all these things, that is to the nation of Israel. God will come and heal and redeem their land. But you need to go with me to Jeremiah. Turn your Bibles here and go with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is the, if my people who are called my people, he's talking to the nation of Israel, repent of their evil ways and do all these things, you know, I'll come and heal the land, restore them in prosperity. He's talking to the nation of Israel. Let's see what God talks about to the rest of the world. In Jeremiah chapter 18, he has something to say for the rest of the world, and this is God. So Jeremiah 18. In Jeremiah 18, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again of another vessel. And it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? This is, again, if you were with us on Sunday for Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 10, you can see he's talking about this is that whole analogy that he's using about as a potter. Can the vessel being made say to the potter, hey, why'd you make me this way? It comes out of Jeremiah chapter 18 and says here, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in the hand of the house of Israel. Okay, let's just do a little test right here. When people tell you that you can't understand the Bible, it's just too hard. Look at verse 6. Here's a pop quiz. Verse 6. Who is God talking to? The house of Israel. Everyone get that one? This is an open book test. It's a pop quiz. I know you didn't expect to come here. You hate pop quizzes, but here it is. O house of Israel. So just in case you didn't get that, Israel. Can I not do with you? So again, that's again what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 9 and 10. And we'll get to chapter 11 in a couple of weeks. Look at verse 7. At what instance I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom, to pluck it up and to pull it down and to destroy it. Verse 7, is he talking to the nation of Israel or who's he talking to? Who? Well, he's talking to the nation of Israel, but who's verse 7 pointed to? Every other nation. You guys get it? This is where America, people say, America's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. It's right here. It's verse 7. Every other nation. Realize that the world is divided into Gentiles, non-Jewish people, and Jews. That's how it's looked at the Old Testament. So the house of Israel, are those Jews or Gentiles? I didn't come here for testing. I didn't come, just hurting my head. So house of Israel is talking to Jews. And what instance shall I pluck concerning a nation? There's America right there, or any other nation. And concerning the kingdom, to pluck it up and to pull it down and to destroy it. Listen, if God, and I've been saying this for 43 years, and I just can't imagine it, us existing as a nation much longer. We're free right now. They haven't hassled us this year about kicking us out of this park and being here, but if God does not judge America, listen, do you understand the abortion rate in the United States? And was it up to over 60 million? 60 million have been legally aborted in the United States. Man. Now look, I participated in abortion. I didn't have an abortion. I'm old school. But I helped others get abortions. That sinner right there. And I look at this. That's just abortion. Look at everything else. So at what nation did I pluck it up and I can destroy it? So did God, just to put it out there, did God really save? Because let's look at the most evil king that ever existed in the Old Testament. Manasseh. Hezekiah, what do you want? King Hezekiah. He just wanted a few more years, did he not? God says, hey, your ticket's punched, time to go. Can I stay longer? And paraphrased by Chick, but God says, okay. But are you sure? He's like, yeah. And he had Manasseh. 54 years, he came to the Lord at the end of his life, but man, a lot of lives are destroyed. No evil king, no worse a king ever. And so here's the thing, is that a nation against that, I can pluck it up, I can destroy this nation. So mark my words, I can't say it's prophecy, I'm going to give you a prophecy update, but just a word of knowledge and wisdom. When President Trump was first elected, told you guys, Kimberly was all in from day one with him. Down the escalator, and she was all in from day one. It was a spiritual thing, and was in. And I warned everybody, if he gets in. And then when he got in, I said, okay, he's in. We're going to have 12 to 18 months of prosperity. And the reason being is because this guy's not going to get us into wars. He's going to get us out of things. It lasted 36 months. But I said, I've been through enough elections. I'm 61 now. When you have a popular president, the opponents trash the economy. They ruin it. And that's what will come. Do not waste your opportunity. Do not do what it says in the book of Ezra, where everyone just turned from the work of the Lord and they built up their own houses. They spent on stuff. And I watch people, even in Calvary Chapel, St. Paul, spend things, toy themselves up, felt they suffered under the last administration, and they deserve this, they deserve that. And then, boom, now we've had what happened. Now he's not in office. And again, mark my words, why was he not reelected? Pop quiz for those of you here. What did I say? Why President Trump would not get reelected? Unless he repented of this one thing. No. Come on, man. It's prophecy. Because his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, married to Ivanka, was an advisor, and he did the Abraham Accords, where you divide up Jerusalem and you divide up Israel. I came to that church that Sunday when that was signed, and he's bragging all about that. And he's like, yep, we did all that. If you have read, I've read, I would encourage you to read it. It's not that long of a read. Everything in the Abraham Accords, which he has not backtracked, which he has not repented of, sets up for the Antichrist to come in. Now listen, I am all for the Antichrist network. I like a cashless society. I don't like writing checks. I like all the electronics and stuff. I even give props to the guys on my off-ramps who have cash apps that you can donate to them. You don't have to give them a dollar anymore. They got a cash app. I mean, that's like, wow. What a hustle, man. You got a cash app. All right. Can't go get a job, but you can get a cash app. All right. That's ingenious. But understand this is that, and then also understand he expedited Operation Warp Speed. The vaccinations. He's never recanted about the vaccinations. He's encouraged you to get them. He says he got them. I don't know if he's still getting them like that. There's things that he has done. But again, there's a lot of great things he did as president in the economy and stuff. But let's not forget, he was a tool, man. So, again, I think with this President Trump, if he's reelected, I think and then we had a reprieve from the last 8 years of administration that was happening there. But don't you feel it in the economy? I mean, bacon, I know the rise. I know the cost of bacon. Bacon's near and dear to me, and the salami and the cheese and stuff, the eggs and stuff like that. I don't care about, I can't even tell you what fish cost, but I know bacon, and I know that's going up. And so here's the thing is that he's never recanted all that, but I'm not voting for a pastor. The only pastor president that there ever was President Garfield. That's not what Garfield the cat was named after, But President Garfield, he was the only president who was ever, and you're not forbidden in scriptures to not be in politics or not to be involved in the government. What did God say to those who were taken into captivity? Because God judged the nation of Israel, and we have Meshach, Rachach, and Abednego. We got Daniel and his young friends. And what did God say? He says, you're going into bondage for 70 years because you failed to keep my Sabbath years. You owe me 70 years. You owe me. For 490 years, every seventh year, you did not keep the Sabbath. You've had an opportunity to repent. You never did. So you owe me 70, and you're going to be there for 70 years. While you're there, paraphrased by Chick, but you read Daniel, it says, while you're there, get involved. Ingrain yourself. Be a part of every part of society. Be influential and do those things. And what happened with Daniel? They became advisors to the king. I mean, Daniel became second in power to the land. What do we see in the book of Esther? We saw in the book of Esther, Mordecai and Haman, and what happened? We saw that Mordecai became, again, powerful in the land. You're involved. God has never said, get out and isolate yourself. He tells Daniel, you're going to be here. Be industrious. Make money. Do what you can. You're only going to be there 70 years. And that's what the book of Nehemiah is about. Nehemiah, who'd never been to Jerusalem, never been to Israel, says, hey, the 70 years of captivity, it's going to be over soon. We should start getting ready. to go back to Israel. And look, he was a cupbearer to the king. He had a high-ranking official. The king even, through the power of God that we can see here, actually gave money and funded it. And so these are the things that we look at. And so let's look at the Jeremiah chapter 18. So verse 7, at which instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning the kingdom to pluck it up and to pull it down and to destroy it. If that nation, he's already talked to the house of Israel. If that nation, we're one of those nations. Remember, there's Jews, the house of Israel, and there's Gentiles. There is the house of Israel, which is one nation, and then everything else is a nation. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I have thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So don't go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where, you know, if my people are called my people. That is what someone did in replacement theology. They took the promises of God to the nation of Israel, and now they've said the church is spiritual Israel. So all those blessings, that's how you can walk away thinking that you're going to go through the tribulation instead of the rapture. You think you're going to go through the tribulation because Israel, that is that whole 7-year period. You got to be with us in October. God forbid we're still here. But in October, we start the book of Revelation on Thursday nights, and you're going to see all that. But the rapture of the church, and I'm just excited, but I've got plans. I mean, we're going to clean out the coffee house. I mean, we're going to get that ready. We're going to get that set up. I got plans for 4 more. I'm just praying, man, if God gives us that building off of 35E in Maryland, man, we can pack it out today. I got lots of infrastructure ready to go. I am good to go with all the plans. But if not, well, then just spending time with Rick and Joanne this week, Kimberly and I going over and spending time with them, and she's at peace. She knows that, hey, her ticket's punched. She got no more. In fact, they go back to dialysis just to say thank you to everybody. And for the last 7 years, they said, man, you're the best patient we ever had. We love you. We're going to miss you. And they just get to evangelize. They just get to share the Lord. And whatever spurt she's having, she woke up Rick the other day and said, hey, let's go to breakfast at Perkins. I don't know if that's like preparation for heaven or not, but let's go to Perkins. I could have picked something else, but all right. And so let's go there. And he's like, he's got more energy than I do, Rick is saying. And he said, hey, I'm just spending time. And to see him. Oh, my goodness. Rick's a better man than me right there. I mean, we're sitting there talking. I said, Rick, you're a better man than me. Why? Well, when Kimberly got breast cancer, I had her dead and buried, and I was moving to Alaska. And he's like, what? And Kimberly's like, yep. And then all my kids are asking, why are you going to move to Alaska? Because I don't want to see any of you kids. You'll remind me of your mother. So I want to be gone. But Rick's like, no, man, he's having a good time. Like, man. I guess it is possible to watch your wife, you know, go to be with the Lord and do those things. And then I got another friend. His wife passed away, and he's still pastoring. He's in the pulpit, Raul Reese. His wife goes to be with the Lord on a Thursday, man. And so he doesn't do Thursday night service. But he showed up that Sunday, and he's been there every Sunday. And he's just what else am I going to do? I got the Word of God here. I'm going to be doing this. So, oh, man, I don't know why Alaska. I don't know why, but whatever. But listen. God, so Jeremiah 18. So what I'm praying for is revival, and you need to be a student of revival. It isn't where people just start getting saved. It's where the believers pray, repent of their sin, misusing their gift or not using their gifts, getting things right with the Lord, and then God will add to our number daily those being saved. Because when people get saved, they come here, we need to disciple them. We need to spend time with them. And just like the book of Ezra, if you're so busy building up your own home and doing your own thing and making everything comfortable for you, and you got all your dehydrated food and all that stuff, you got everything prepared to go through any hard times and stuff. Listen, what are you spending your time on? And so it's Jeremiah chapter 18. So we look at the hope. Let me give you this quote. A friend of mine wrote this in a blog. He said, American novelist, writer, and journalist, and one of the first female war correspondents, Martha Gilhorn, 1908 to 1998, once wrote, people often say with pride, I'm not interested in politics. They might as well say I'm not interested in my standard of living, my health, my job, my rights, my freedoms, my future, or any future. If we mean to keep any control over our world and lives, we must be interested in politics. Now listen, that's purely a secular perspective, but it is a perspective that includes an up-and-close firsthand eyewitness insight from a war that arose because of the political inactivity, populations of people, their historical truth. We have another quote. And again, this is a very famous quote here, but it says here, may I point out a quote from the United States Holocaust Museum. And it's also at the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum in Israel. We see this. I walk everyone by it. It's from Pastor Martin Niemöller, who said, now this is a pastor in Germany who did not turn over to the Nazis, he was persecuted and suffered because he would not turn over anything over to Adolf Hitler. It says here, first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. That's history, folks. And if we forget history, we're doomed to repeat it. And so here, again, from a purely secular thing, I want Christians to engage, you know, in society. I want to be, listen, we're in bondage, in a spiritual bondage in the sense, to take an analogy from the book of Daniel, but we're to be involved and ingrained into the politics, into the infrastructure. I want judges who know Jesus Christ as saving Lord to be on the bench. I want lawyers. We only have one that I know of who's saved. I want lawyers who know the Lord and who don't compromise. And then they later, that's how they become judges. And I want people who represent my values as close as I can. So I'm not telling you who to vote for, but who is the closest, not perfection, who is the closest to your convictions and to your beliefs and the lifestyle that you want to live? Then you vote for that. And I'm not just talking in the general election of a national, of a federal. But let's look at this local level. Go and find out, where do I vote in the state of Minnesota? Punch in your address, whatever. If you're not registered to vote, shame on you. It's like saying, I'm not interested in my standard of living. Who's raising the rates on pork? Those who are supposedly representatives. Who's doing these things? I mean, even if Governor Walz becomes a believer, becomes a Christian, it's still going to take, someone's going to have to disciple him, and his whole worldview is going to change. You know, I didn't readily, when I became a believer, give up smoking pot and drinking right away. I knew it was wrong. The Holy Spirit was showing me, but I still enjoyed it. You found me at beer chugging contest, not vinegar chugging contest, you naturalist, apple cider vinegar. You didn't find me doing those things. But as I would just read God's word, as it tells us here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, continually exhorting and just continually coming and hearing God's word and studying it. So my question is, did God save President Trump from that assassin's bullet? Well, what are you going to do if he's elected and he does even better than his first term because he knows who really backstabbed him last time? And he does really good this next time and prices come down. What are you going to do with more time on your hands because you don't have to work as long in hours and overtimes just to make as enough money as you were living before? What are you going to do if somehow we get a reprieve? Because if you take that gift, as 1 Timothy chapter 4 is telling us, and you neglect it, you don't use it, something else is going to fill up that void. Something else is going to take up your time, your talent, and your treasure. But time is the biggest thing. To me, time's a commodity. Time with me, if someone has an appointment with me and they didn't do their homework and they show up, hey, we're going to meet. I go, okay, you didn't do your homework, didn't do what we signed. They're like, no. And I said, okay, we have nothing to talk about. Well, I just thought we'd still get together. Well, this isn't your meeting. This is my meeting. And you were supposed to do this. I literally will call up Kimberly. You there? hey, let's go out. I got a couple hours before my next appointment. I spend my time on her. I spend my time, again, whatever found time. That 2 hours was set aside to maybe counsel and disciple or work with this person. They don't have it. Boom. Because 2 hours later, I have another appointment. I'm going to go get Kimberly, and we're going to go do something. I'll spend time with her. So to me, time's a commodity. It's not something for me to waste. But what are you going to do if God gives us a reprieve? What are you going to do if with whatever president is elected and God gets a hold of them? And they realize their whole worldview needs to change, and they're going to do it with the Bible here. You think you saw an assassination attempt on July 13th, but if we look at the opening ceremonies, if you haven't seen the news, and just I threw up in my mouth, and just to see all that and to see the mockery of that, but to hear and say, God, please, there's got to be something. Well, good. It shook a nation of dead Christians in France to say, we let this get too far. And they flooded the streets. They're not tearing anything down. No one's dying. And they are praying. And the couple that we're praying for that are over there, if you haven't been in contact with them and stuff, stay in contact with them and praying for them. There's evangelism going on there. People are realizing, like, listen, if it's this bad at the opening ceremony, and this is France, and this is what the world knows us for, man, how do we let it get so bad? And so here, something else to be considered here. A friend of mine writes this: you are a Christian, and here's for the Christian. You are a resource of America. Have you forgotten all the blessings and profit you have experienced by virtue of God's sovereign placement of you in this nation? God is the one who has blessed us, but he has used this, okay? God is the one who has blessed us, but he has used this great nation as an instrument to do so. There is a reason why the vast majority of people want to live in America rather than flee from it. Do we, who have benefited so much with life, liberty, and bounty by virtue of the United States citizenship, have a responsibility to pay this to repay this country? Are we only takers and not givers? You say you pay taxes or have paid some other way, but still, haven't you disproportionately benefited from your investments? I believe we have a moral obligation to serve as good citizens. That means to be involved in the government's laws, processes that have been the infrastructure that God has kept this nation so dominant in the world. We are a generous nation. We help and protect the weak and needy. We have a big heart for others. Maybe we ourselves have benefited from such generosity. Shouldn't we take the baton from the greatest generation and pay forward their standards? Shouldn't we try to succeed where others in the past failed or have faltered? Shouldn't we seek God for revival and work for his righteousness as much as we can in the power that the Holy Spirit gives us? So I give you this that provides. I think the answer is yes. We should do what we can to save the nation God has blessed with us. God bless Americans, and may use it. And may America bless God. That's the opportunity that you and I get to have right now. And again, listen, if you haven't read the Declaration of Independence, we've been handing them out on Sunday down in the fellowship area, big stack of them. Some of you might be able to read it because it's in cursive. So get your moms and granddads and others to help you do that, blow it up. But you can go online. And you know what? You can't even trust that which is online because some people have rewritten it online and taken things out. And so I don't know. To me, why isn't cursive handwriting taught anymore? If you go a generation, you can't read cursive, you'll never be able to read the original documents of the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. It's all in cursive. I know this to be true because I had some guys in the military. They took some retired veterans and pitted them against some current Special Forces guys. And they did little war games with them. And the old retired veterans won just about every battle because, one, they didn't use any electronics. They wrote all their battle plans in code and in cursive if they ever got caught. And they had a strategy and what to do, and they didn't use it. They kept getting attacking the command post of these young officers who are training to be officers, lead troops, and they were waiting. We're going to get them. We're going to look at the internet. We're going to look at this, and we're going to catch some type of electronic transmission. They didn't. They used hand signals, verbal communication, and handwritten notes in cursive, and they won. To have someone, a college-educated butter bar second lieutenant, not much of an exaggeration there, but to read it and cannot read cursive. It's just ridiculous. But if you can read cursive, you can read the U.S. Constitution. I've got a book of it. It's properly translated, and it's all there. But maybe you know these words. We've been endowed by our Creator with, I'm not going to say, and you know the thing. We've been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. The rights of what? Life, liberty, you know the thing. Pursuit of happiness, okay, you know, all right. Endowed. You know what that means? It's an endowment. An endowment is a gift. An endowment is a gift that was there, and you're entrusted with this endowment and this inheritance to do something with it. Those are the words our founding fathers put in the Declaration of Independence, but also put in the United States Constitution. And that's why they did the Bill of Rights. The first 10 Bill of Rights, again, they said the right to free speech and assembly. And the Second Amendment, how do you know about the Second Amendment? And they wanted to make the Second Amendment the actual First Amendment. There was a lot of consternation over that. They said, no, we need the First Amendment to be this. This is the right that we have, right to assemble, free speech, right here, what we're doing right here. And we can't be jailed for it because that's what King George was doing. It's the whole American Revolution about. And then they said, we'll have the Second Amendment. Why? To make sure the First Amendment stays the First Amendment. And you read all that. And no, a militia is not an army, not this. It's you and I are the militia anyways. So I'll get in trouble with that. But like I care. All right, so... But if you can't read cursive, you can't read the original founding fathers and their documents. So get it while you can, while it's in big block Helvetica or Palatino font. And read that. Listen, the actual Lord's Prayer is John chapter 17, and I'll finish with this. The Lord's Prayer isn't our Father who art in heaven, how to be the God. No, that he said, teach us how to pray. He says, here, do this. But don't make it repetitious. But yet, isn't it very repetitious? The Lord's Prayer is actually John chapter 17. He says, sanctify them, O Lord, with your truth. Your word is truth. And don't take them out of this world. Keep them in this world, but sanctify them in this world. So God gives each and every one a plan, a purpose, direction, and meaning in our life. And so we're here. What are we doing with our time? So Jeremiah chapter 18, if a nation that God will set up and pluck down. And how do I know this? Because at one time, the sun never set on the Empire of England. They had colonies and everything all over the world. Now it sets pretty well. And they were the dominant powerhouse. In fact, they sent missionaries around the world. In fact, everything that America's known for now as far as missions and sending out, that came out of the United Kingdom. And now they're saying at best, maybe 2% of the population of the UK consider themselves Christian. 2%. And yet they were the powerhouse and they were the ones sending people around the world. Now it's still coming to America and here in the United States. And so here, for you and I, Christian, I would encourage you, did God really save President Trump? Well, time will tell. I believe we got a reprieve last time, and whoever becomes the president this next time, whether by hook or by crook, or they cook the machines or do whatever, I pray whoever it is, they come under the submission and come under the power of the Holy Ghost, and they surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, just like I'm praying for our governor and our attorney gangster, Keith Ellison, because these are corrupt individuals. And now there's a one-party system in the state of Minnesota. And folks, you can't even keep up with all the laws that are in that they've passed that you don't even hear about. You can't even keep up with them. And the things that they've just have gotten through. And this is why we need to pray. So let's get our own houses right before the Lord. Not talking about perfection, just practice righteous, practice just making choices for Jesus every day. And you'll make less choices for the world. And just make more choices for Jesus every day than you do for the world. And then it'll just be part of your life. And get our own lives ready. And then God will add to our number daily those being saved. And when people come here, they're going to need your time. And you might not be able to disciple everybody who comes here. Hook them up with somebody. Get them connected with somebody that can disciple them and they can be there. But that's the whole thing, coming together. Proverbs 18:1 tells us, a man who isolates himself brings about his own destruction. He rages against all wisdom. And so we were meant to be communal. We were meant to come together. So in chapter 18, that's our whole thing, that God can. And if God's not going to judge, and maybe this last administration was a judgment, because we're suffering under these things. But if we get a reprieve and regulations go away and executive orders get canceled and we have prosperity once again, don't get more into debt. Don't raise your standard of living. Get out of debt. Get liquid. Because the Bible tells us a borrower becomes a lender's slave. All right? I don't think owning a house and going with the bank is debt, because you build equity and you can build up and it's a way to wealth. But if you need help with your finances, there's folks here that I've trained. You can work with us. But use this opportunity in the time that you have. And with that, hey, Esteban, Jim, I want to hit you so bad, Ryan. Pastor's out. I want to do communion with you. So we're going to end this part of the service. And the Lord bless you. For those of you listening online, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, your Lord, salvation, don't leave earth without it. I'm just telling you, man. And for there be anybody here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, your Lord, I would go insane if I didn't have Jesus. What's happening? I can't even keep up with the news. Trust me, I had 10 great illustrations to use this last week for this message. I couldn't use a one of them. I just turned the news on today. Eek! Ugh! And so here we go from there. May the Lord bless you online.